I want to study with you for a little while tonight about God's wonderful plan for getting everybody to know about it and trying to get everybody to get the benefit of it. You see, when Jesus came down here 2,000 years ago, he came with the message of his Father's love. He showed that love in the way he lived, the way he ministered. His whole life was just helping other people. And then that life of service was crowned by a death of sacrifice. He gave himself for our sins. And then when he came from the tomb, he went up to heaven immediately and received from God the Father the assurance that his sacrifice was accepted and that he could bring all his friends in this world up there with him to enjoy everything in heaven. He told heaven that he couldn't come back there unless he could bring you and me with him. Isn't that wonderful? That's how much he thinks of us, dear friend. And he means it. Thank God he has his heart set on having us there with him. And then when he came back to cheer his disciples, he said, "Now, I'm going back to the sanctuary above, and I'm going to be telling you some very interesting things about that as we come to this anniversary of the 22nd of October. He said, "I'm going up there to the sanctuary to do a work for you that's necessary to be done. But there's something I want you to do for me while I'm gone. I want you to go everywhere and tell others what I've told you. I want you to go everywhere and reveal to others the love that I have revealed to you. I want you to go everywhere and share with others the life that I have shared with you." In order that this might be accomplished, he organized his disciples into a church. That's what the church was organized for. The church is not a mutual admiration society. It's an army. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. That's what the song says, isn't it? Do you believe that? Now, you might be interested in a text or two from the Bible this evening on this point. Turn to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. You might think that a love song is a queer place to look for a reference that shows that the church is an army, but here it is, right in the middle of this inspired love song, the Song of Solomon, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. You know, the Song of Solomon, while it is a real love song for human beings who belong to each other, it is also an inspired parable, a representation or illustration of the love that Jesus has for his church and the love that the church has for him. So here in this 6th chapter of the Song of Solomon and the 10th verse, we have this inspired description of the church. "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners." Now, can you get those things together in your mind? Beautiful, but terrible. Christ's church is indeed beautiful with the reflection of his character. But, oh friends, the church is in a world that is in rebellion against God. And the church has no part with rebellion. I hope we all remember that. Let's turn now to the book of Revelation, this last wonderful book in the canon of Scripture. The 12th chapter of Revelation in the 17th verse. Here you see that same woman that the Song of Solomon presents, the Church of Christ. You see why she needs to be an army, and terrible as an army. She's got a terrible war on her hands. You know this verse. Read it or say it with me, will you? "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." This army then is not a peacetime police corps. It's on a war footing. The battle is joined. And who is the war against? It is against the one who is against Christ and his church. That's the dragon, the devil. He's the one that started this war. He started it in heaven 6,000 years ago. He's been at it ever since. He's never stopped. There's been no truce, no armistice, and there never will be until the war is over, finished forever. Friends, I'm so glad we're down in the remnant of time. What do you say? I'm so glad that the last battle is just ahead. And God is in the business now of enlisting and training his army who will win in earth's last war. Have you heard the summons? Have you responded? Have you enlisted? Oh, I hope you are, friend, and if those of you that aren't, I hope you will. I'm here as a recruiting officer for the captain tonight. But more than a recruiting officer, may I tell you very frankly, friends, I fear that there's great peril in the church today that we forget that we are an army. Or if we remind ourselves that we are an army, we take comfort in the fact that not more than 5% of the army have deserted in recent months or years. Wouldn't that be a strange thing for an army to get together and rejoice that they hadn't lost too many by desertion during the last year? How long would it take an army to win a war on that program? And suppose that the time and energy of the officers was largely concerned with keeping the soldiers from deserting. Do you think that they would ever possess very much territory? Do you think that they would ever win very many battles? But the statistics are gathered month by month and year by year, and so as captains and majors and colonels, we report, well, in our regiment, in our division, we only lost so many last year. We only lost so many last year. Oh, brothers, sisters, friends, when the Spirit of God got hold of Peter and John and Matthew and Thomas, when the Spirit of God gave that mighty summons, 3,000 people joined the army in one day in Jerusalem. Will it ever happen again? Thank God. There are men and women, yes, and boys and girls here tonight that are going to have a part in that. Jesus is the captain. Will you be enlisted? And if you are enlisted, will you be at your post? Not merely for sentry duty, but to make the charge. Now, thank God, friends, in this warfare, we're not trying to kill anybody. Aren't you glad? We're not going out with guns or swords. Instead of trying to kill people, we're trying to save people. Aren't you glad? But the warfare is nonetheless realistic and earnest and terrible. It's a real conflict that's on. The devil is trying to take prisoners. We're trying to release prisoners. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Luke 4:18. He's in the business of freeing the slaves, the dupes of Satan. Every soldier in Satan's army is there because he is deceived. That's why there's such power in these drugs that are being used today, wholesale. That's what's back of the type of music that is so prevalent in some circles today. That's what's back of most of the TV programs, most of the radio programs. It's all a part of a hypnotic spell that is being cast over the minds of men. so that they will do what the prince of darkness orders them to do. Oh, I pray that God will this hour open the eyes of everyone who may have been deceived. And dear ones, you who have your eyes open, how open are they? How wide are they open? And has your heart been impressed with your privilege, your duty, your solemn responsibility to not merely work with God for the saving of your own soul, but to be a full-time soldier for Jesus, to go out and get others, go out and get others, go out and get others? That's our job. That's our assignment. Will you read that text with me again or repeat it? Revelation 12, 17, all together. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Tell me, will you fight back in this war? Not with carnal weapons, but with the weapons of the Spirit. Listen, when David was a shepherd boy out there on the hills of Bethlehem, you remember that from time to time a lion would come in to steal from his flock, or a bear would come in and take a lamb. What did David do? Did he say, well, too bad, I'll have to go home and report to Father that we lost another sheep last night? Is that what he did? What did he do? My dear friends, David got on the warpath right now. He went after that lion or that bear, whatever it was that was a marauder at that particular time. He went after that beast and got the lamb. And when the lion, bear, turned on him, he took care of that also. This is how he got trained and got ready to go after Goliath. This is exactly why when he met that great giant towering up there, instead of feeling fearful and afraid, he was seized with holy courage and boldness to do something about it. And where the whole army of Saul for 40 days had been just watching that man strike fear to thousands of hearts, David, that young man in his teens, took his sling and some stones from the brook and went after him. Did God give him the victory? Where had he learned it? Out there with the lion and bear. Saving a lamb. Saving a lamb. Do you know how God is getting ready today the Davids that will fight Goliath and bring down the great giant? Down, down, down to death. Do you know how God is training them? God is training people today that will triumph over Satan in the final war. He's training them by sending them going after lambs that have been lost. Do you know any lamb that's been lost? Do you? Well, if you don't, my dear friend, get down on your knees and ask God to help you to find where the action is, to find where the need is. And that's where the action ought to be, isn't it? Yes, there are lambs that have been stolen by the devil. There are boys and girls, young men and women, older ones, that have been captured by the devil in any one of his thousand ways. Oh, my friend, will you be a David and go after that lamb and get it and bring it back? This isn't just some hobby like collecting butterflies. Oh, no, this is a life and death matter. Easygoing method won't accomplish very much. This is war. May I read you something from the Review and Herald of April 19, 1906? This is a tremendous statement. We are to do all we possibly can to win souls to Christ. He went through the shame and agony of the death on the cross to save souls to whom Satan was holding out every inducement to allure them to his side. The Lord's standard bearers are to carry forward the work with power, yet in Christ-like love for souls. They are to show a decided care for those who are being drawn away. They are to urge them to face about. They are to fight for the souls of those for whom Christ has died. You see, friends, this is an army. This is a war on. And you are to fight for souls. Oh, thank God. There are weapons far more powerful than swords or guns or atom bombs. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, newly edged with power by the Holy Spirit, can cut its way. The shield of faith can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Paul describes it there in Ephesians 6. And then, when he has mentioned the different parts of the Christian's armor and armamentarium, he says, praying always. Yes, prayer is the Christian's greatest weapon. We're to pray alone with God for souls. Then we're to seek out souls and pray with them, getting their eyes on Jesus in the sanctuary, pleading with them to turn their eyes to Christ, and then pouring out our hearts to God in prayer in their behalf. Dear ones, some people a week ago tonight got a vision of that. Did somebody that's here tonight get a vision of that last Friday night? May I see your hand? Thank God. I want to ask you something, friends. How many of you did something about it between last Friday night and tonight? How many of you did something about it? May I see your hands? Thank God, friends. This is a good beginning. But listen, the war isn't over. The war isn't over. This is a holy war. Turn over to Revelation 19. I want you to see this war. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. What's Jesus doing? Making war. Why? The devil is making war on him. There can be no concord between Christ and Belial. There can be no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. There can be no communion between light and darkness. There cannot even be a truce, no armistice. This is war to the death, my friends. The devil is determined to unseat Christ from his throne and destroy all his saints. But Christ is determined to rescue his lambs, as David went and got that lamb from the bear and the lion. Do you see? Let me tell you, friends. When there's something, somebody you love with all your heart, your adrenaline gets to working. The blood sugar rises. There's energy to go and do something. Do something. That shepherd that we read about last Friday night, at the close of the day, as he looked over his flock as they came into the fold, he found that how many were missing? One. Just one? Just one. What sent him out over the hills? Love. Love. Probably from a monetary standpoint, that one sheep wasn't worth all the time and toil and effort that it took to find him and get him. But money is not the consideration, it's love. And oh, Jesus loves one soul as if that one were the only one for whom he died. Is that right? Is that what the brethren's saying? Do you believe it? Oh, are you worth that much? Is that lost sheep, that straying lamb worth that much? What will you do? What will you do about it? Oh, will you enlist in the army of God to fight the devil in this holy war and to take captives for Christ? Take them away from the devil. Release them from slavery, from bondage, and get them enlisted with you in the army. You see, friends, thank God, the church is not a prison camp where we just feed the prisoners. Oh, no. No, no. Everyone that's taken from the enemy's side is to be enlisted as an active soldier, joining in the attack on the foe and joining with us in helping to take more men for God. Do you see it? What a wonderful privilege we have. All right, now back to Revelation 19. The 11th verse shows us the holy army with Christ at the head. But now look at the 19th verse and look at the devil's army. Oh, God, keep us, friends, from joining that devil's army. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Jesus' army is in the field. The army of the devil is in the field. What's the issue? Law keeping or law breaking? Loyalty or rebellion? Let me tell you, there are no neutral nations in this war. There's nobody that simply sits on the sidelines and wonders which one's going to win. Everyone is either fighting with the devil against Christ or fighting for Christ against Satan. Where do you stand, my friend? Where do you stand? It isn't enough to pay some soldier to go in your place. You can't do that. There are no proxies in this. Everyone is either actively on duty in the army of Christ or else, whether he knows it or not, he's contributing to the success of the devil's cause. This is true, friend. Oh, I pray that somebody here tonight will wake up and say, listen, long ago, by baptism, I enlisted in the army of Christ, but I've been content to just sit and keep a pew warm. I've been content to put some money in the collection plate. Tonight, I see that God wants me to be a soldier for him, to gather some captives from the devil, release them from that bondage, and get them to join with me in full-time service for Jesus. You know, I want to tell you something, friends. The opportunity to do this is almost over. All through the ages of eternity, we'll be singing the song of victory, but there won't be any more battles. If you and I ever do anything for Jesus in this warfare, we're going to do it soon. And the great danger, the almost certain danger, is this, that unless we get active and keep active for God, we'll wake up someday and find that we're in the enemy's camp. This is what has happened to thousands of professed Christians down through the ages. It can happen to you, my brother. It can happen to you. Indecision soon becomes decision in the wrong direction.